Acts chapter 27. Follow along. I'm going to begin reading here, middle of the chapter, verse number 21. We're going to read just a few verses here. Acts chapter 27, verse number 21. The Bible says, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm, gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Watch verse 25, it says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." This morning, the message title is simply that, I believe God. I believe God this morning. I hope that you'll allow me, as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, I ask Him to speak and be very real to us. But folks, I stand before you very proudly saying, I believe God. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll have our special just after. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do want to thank you for all that are here. Dear God, I do pray that those who might have wanted to be with us, Lord, and are not able to, dear God, perhaps it's sickness, Lord, perhaps they are out of town, Lord, and thinking of us and praying for our service, Lord, I appreciate those. And dear God, I pray that you just meet with us here this morning, though. Dear God, I pray that as we've gathered together, Lord, we want to hear from you. Dear God, no one here wants to hear from me. Lord, everyone here wants to hear from you. Now, I pray, dear God, that you would allow me, as I open my voice, Lord, that you would speak through my mouth. Dear God, I pray that you would just help everything to be done, Lord, to give you the glory and the honor and the praise. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I think about this passage that we're at here in Acts 27. And of course, all that's going on we have here, we'll not read the entirety of it. I'll rehearse it for you. Paul here has been sent into prison, and now he is actually being sent to Rome to stand, of course, as it says here in verse number 24, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar." And so he is headed towards Rome. He is going to stand before Caesar, being accused of nothing more than preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This man, Paul, he was never sent before Caesar when he was an accuser of the brethren, the born-again believers. He was never captured. He was never sent to prison. He was never sent before the magistrate. He would have people imprisoned. He would have people beaten. He would have people, even by his own testimony, be taken so far as death. But he never stood trial for any of those things. But now he stands before mankind and he proclaims the name of Jesus Christ at a time where it wasn't the most convenient thing to do so. This, of course, is just at the close of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, their Gospels are now closed. The church has now been dispersed in and throughout the areas. And so here we have the last remaining apostle of Jesus Christ, Paul, as he is beginning to his ministry and preaching. He is now sent before sent to Rome to stand trial before Caesar. And of course, as God would allow it and as God would have it, in verse number 14, it says, "Not long thereafter." Well, in fact, before we get there, if you look up at some of the previous verses, in verse number 7, "When we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against, Salmon, however you want to pronounce that." And so I never have. Maybe some of you have been on a sailing vessel before. Brother Childs, our missionary to China, before he got saved, he loved sailing, and he had a boat that he would take out, and he had talked to me about that and all the things that would go on. And maybe you've had opportunity to be on a sailboat before. I don't know, maybe it was one such as this, where if there was no wind, you didn't go very far. You didn't go very fast. There were areas in the Atlantic Ocean that the sailors hated to go through because it was known that the wind would not prevail. It would not blow. And they would spend sometimes days and often weeks in one area waiting for the wind to come back up to where they could catch the sail and they would move forward. And of course, that's Paul is kind of going through that here. And in verse number 9, it says, "Now when much time had been spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already passed, Paul admonished him and said unto them, 'Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phenis and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest.'" So here's what's going on. They're out in the middle of the ocean. And they're not able to, now they're probably in the Mediterranean Sea, of course, at this point, but they're at a point they can't see land. They're in the middle of the water, and the wind isn't blowing. And Paul, he says, "Listen, gentlemen, I believe that God is trying to teach us something here. This is not going to be an advantageous voyage for us. It would be better off if we pull over here and we winter over here in this small little town. Probably was a small little fishing town, a deep port so that they could pull their ship into, but not one that was that had a lot to offer to the sailors." Because it says in verse number 12, because the haven was not commodious to winter in. Wasn't commodious. It didn't have a lot to offer the sailors. There weren't a lot of taverns, more than likely. There weren't a lot of places for a sailor to go out and get drunk and spend the money that he is making on this voyage. Maybe there weren't a lot of nice restaurants that they could go to, and they were going to have to go ahead and eat the hard biscuits that they had on the ship that they had taken with them. Now, if we're going to winter, man, let's go someplace fun. If we're gonna have to stop our sailing for a time, let's not make it this little area over here. Let's not make it this small town. Now let's go someplace that's got some nightlife. Let's go someplace that is fun for us. And of course, it was a mistake. Hey, when it gets down here, verse number 14, it says, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat." We'll not go through all of it. You probably know the account of what's going on here. And of course, at this particular juncture where we see it in verse number 21, Paul stands in the midst of it and he says, "Gentlemen, I want you to understand something. We don't need to be worried. We don't need to fear. We have an understanding. God has already spoken to me." Now, that immediately, I'm sure, got their attention. What do you mean God spoke to you? The angel of the Lord spoke to you last night? Who are you that the angel of the Lord comes down and speaks to? Amen. Well, Paul was an apostle of God. And God spoke to him and said, "Listen, Paul, you need to get to Rome. You need to stand before Caesar. There's no one there. As long as they will stay in the ship, we'll see you here in a while. As long as you'll stay in the ship, no one's going to lose their life. But you know what? The ship itself is going to be lost." And so he tells them that. He says, "Hearken unto me," verse number 21, "and not of, you should have not loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. I exhort that be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship, for there stood this night by me the angel of God, whose I am and whose I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God.'" Well, what a great thing to be able to say, "I believe God." Have you ever had a manager at work that promised you the world Your next review. Well, you're gonna get a raise. You're probably even gonna get a promotion. We had a spot that opened up. So-and-so just retired. So-and-so just left. They took a job at another company, and I've got your name. You're at the top. You're on the short list. That's probably going to be your spot. Be of good cheer, because that's your spot. That raise is yours. Go home and tell your wife tonight. Let's decide what house we're going to buy next, because this raise is going to be a beauty. You ever had someone like that? Only to come out with your review and you got that all wonderfully inspiring 2% raise. Wow. It didn't even keep up with inflation. You see, when God tells us something, oh, how far, how vastly different it is. I am thankful that I can say, I believe God. Now, I would never want to be the kind of an individual that someone says, oh, well, Pastor Sears said that I could do such and such. Yeah, that'll never happen. I don't want to be that kind of a pastor. I don't want to be that kind of an individual. I don't want to be the kind of a person that my neighbor, if I promise my neighbor, if I promise my friend, or if I promise my family member that I will do something or I'll this or that, if I make the promise, I don't want them to say, ah, well, that'll probably never happen. He's promised that before. He's promised me many things before that he's never followed through on. His word is not as good as the air which it moves. See, I would want someone to say, no, he's told me yes, he will. He means yes. He's told me he would, he means he would. He's told me he won't, then he won't. It doesn't matter how hard we try. I want to be a man of my word. I want all of us, of course, to be individuals of our word. But I thank the Lord that we have a God that we can believe in. Today, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that I believe God. I may not know, or I know not today what tomorrow may bring, as the song says, but I believe God. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I believe God. Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. I believe God. Oh, that song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe God this morning. I believe God. I'm thankful for God. Listen, there are some things I would like you to write down. Number one, I believe God's word. I believe it. I believe God's word. And I don't know what's going on this morning. It sounds like half of you are asleep and the other of you are begging to be asleep, all right? Hey, listen, we're talking about the word of God. We're talking about believing God this morning. Man, there should be some shouting about that. I believe God. Lord, I want to believe every word that you say. I believe God's word. If we look here in Acts chapter number 5, in Acts 15. Go back to chapter number 15. Acts chapter number 15. Now listen, I'm wound up this morning. I don't know if you are or not. I don't know why you're not. Man, I'm wound up as tight as a drum. I thought today was going to be a bad day. It's a great day already. Acts chapter number 15, look here, verse number 7. It says, and when there had been much disputing, Peter arose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. I believe God's word. I believe God's word. I am thankful that we have the very word of God. I'm thankful that I don't have to wonder as to whether it's true, as to whether it's honest, as to whether I can take it to the bank. I have the word of God. I have the very voice of God in my hand. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I don't have to wonder about whether God really meant what he said. I am grateful the fact that as a pastor, I don't have to say, well, listen, I know the Bible says this, but we really don't necessarily think that that's how God meant it. We really think that God perhaps actually meant it this way. Man, God didn't tell us what he might have thought. God told us exactly what he thought. We have the very words of God. We have the very mind of Christ. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you understand Scripture, you understand that the very words of Jesus Christ are that Bible, and that Bible are the very words of Jesus Christ. You cannot separate it. You cannot separate Jesus Christ from the Word of God. I'm talking Old Testament and New Testament combined. The very Word of God, all the way from Genesis 1:1 that says in the beginning, all the way back to the book of Revelation, the very last word being Amen. Every part of it is God's Word spoken through Jesus Christ. He is the very Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I believe it. Amen. I don't have to question it. I believe God. I believe Genesis 1:1 that says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. I thank the Lord for that. I don't have to question as to whether creation was true or not. God's Word already tells me about it. I believe God, and I believe His Word. I believe John 3:16 that says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe it. I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to go to heaven or not. I don't have to wonder as to how I can know for sure whether I will or not. Jesus Christ already paid my sin debt. And I trusted Him as my personal Savior. Oh, I speak to so many people. Yesterday, again, we go out and we talk to people at their door. And I hear so many times, it saddens, it breaks my heart. It saddens me the amount of people that continue to believe that even when you take a Bible and you go through the gospel and you show to them the fact that we are sinners before God, that we don't deserve to go to heaven, the fact that it remains that we truly deserve to go to hell because of our sin, and they shake their head and they say, I agree, there's no one good. I said, that's right, there's no one that's good. And they say, I know I'm a sinner. I said, I know you're a sinner already because God told me you were a sinner just as much as I am. And you talk about the fact, you teach them, you show them in the Scripture that Jesus Christ, as while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And they say yes. And I say, listen, you cannot be good enough to go to heaven. Oh, I know I can't. There's no way that I can. And I say, listen, when did you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Oh, I do that all the time. I do that every time I go to church. I do that every day. No, folks, you get saved one time. There is one point where you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. It doesn't happen over and over and over and over again. It doesn't make sense if I were to ask you what your birthday is and you give me 3 or 4 or 5 different days. My head was born on one day. My feet were born on another day. My right and left arm were born one day. And then all of a sudden the rest of me came to be. I'd look at you like you're just a goofball. You would look at me the same. But yet when we say, oh, I got saved on 4 or 5 or 6 different occasions, I do it every day. Man, wouldn't your mom hate you if she had to have childbirth every day? Mom, when's my birthday? Once. I'm glad. That was it. Every day. Listen, when we get saved, it's being born again. We get saved one time. Amen. Oh, but it breaks my heart that people misunderstand, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It breaks my heart when people think that, well, if I'm a good enough person, I'll go to heaven. I ask them repeatedly, I say, well, then why did Jesus die on the cross if God's leaving it all up to you and your goodness? Why did Jesus die on the cross? Why was His precious blood shed for my sin if all He's going to look at is your account? I believe God. I believe God. John 3 verse 36, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen. The wrath of God will abide on those that do not trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. I believe God, and I believe His Word. I believe Romans chapter 10 verse number 13, that says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad that you can be saved just as much as I can be saved. I'm glad that I didn't have to become a pastor to know for sure that my name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad as a 5-year-old boy I got that settled. I'm glad that some of you as a 70-year-old boy got that settled. I'm glad that you have it, that you know, because God told us. Man, this isn't the word of Pastor Sears. My words will fall flat on the floor, but God's Word, that's power. I believe God. I believe Psalm 11 verse number 3 that says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? God should be speaking to the heart of every believer here this morning and saying, listen, the foundations perhaps are being eroded in your life. Maybe you're a young man that you were raised and you were taught and you were trained how you should live your life according to God's Word, but you have allowed the foundations to be destroyed. God's asking you, what can the righteous do when the foundations are destroyed? I believe God. I believe Matthew chapter 1 verse 23 that says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. I'm glad that it wasn't just a young woman, as many Bibles like to put in their in the pages of Scripture. Now they say a young woman. There's no mystery in that. There's no miraculous thing in a young woman delivering a child, but a virgin. A virgin. That's a different story. That's a miracle that will never be capped. That's a miracle that will never be equaled. I believe God. I believe Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, that says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I believe it. I believe in preaching. I believe in taking a Bible and preaching the word of God. I believe in teaching Scripture. I believe in saying, here's what God expects from us, and here's what God demands of us. I believe God. I believe 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 7, where it says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." I believe God when He says that He expects His children to be different than the rest of the world. We've got a world so messed up anymore that people live a life that they think is pleasing and honoring to God. And then we as born-again believers that know Christ as our Savior try to compare ourselves to those who are trying to live their life good enough to get to heaven. I don't compare myself to them. I've got to compare myself to Scripture. Listen, if I do not line up with Scripture, it doesn't matter how much better I look than those who are lost. It doesn't matter how much better I look to those who are backslidden. If I don't line up with Scripture, listen, I have that as my calibration. I believe God. I believe Galatians chapter 6 verses 7 and 8. This says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of corruption." For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to his spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. I believe God. You're not going to make a mockery of God. What you reap, you will sow. I believe God. I believe Ephesians chapter 3 verse 21 that says, "Unto Him be glory in the church." You see, I believe in being in the house of God. I believe in going to church. I believe that this is a place where God's name is lifted up, and we get to in fellowship, we get to love God, and we get to proclaim His holy name, and we get to listen to a message from God, and I believe God's word. I believe Philippians 1:27 that says, "Only let your conversation be as that becometh the gospel of Christ." I believe that. I believe the Word of God. I believe God and I believe His Word. I believe Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32. This says, "Be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I believe we live in a world that people are so angry at one another, angry at their parents, angry at their children, angry at their spouse, angry at their job, angry at their boss. I believe that we should be kind. Man, we looked at kindness this morning in Sunday school. I believe that we should be kind. I believe God. I believe His Word when it teaches me that. I believe 1 Thessalonians 5:22 that says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." I believe God. I believe that we should take that to heart and we should say, listen, here's what the world looks at. Here's what the world sees. Here's the rebellious nature of man's heart. I need to be different than that. And I need to abstain from all appearance of evil. I don't want to be counted guilty. Not that I am doing it, but that I associate with those who are doing it. That's what God's Word says. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Listen, I'm not mad this morning. I'm just letting it be known, I believe God. I believe His Word. I believe Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I believe 1 Peter 1:16 that says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Folks, I believe God's Word. Cover to cover. Everything that's in that Bible. I thank God for His... Now, listen, the comments, the commentaries that might be in a Bible, that's not Scripture. Schofield, C.I. Schofield, the Schofield reference Bible that I have, he's got a lot of different notes on the bottom pages. He's got places that I've completely scratched out, and I said, absolutely not. I disagree with him, but I believe the Word of God. I can discern the difference between what is God's Word and what is man's Word. I believe God. I believe His Word. I believe that Bible, cover to cover. Oh, let's get back to where we believe God's Word. Let's get back to where God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Why do we stray from that? Why don't we let God's word be that light to our feet and a lamp to our path? Why don't we understand that, as Paul told those men here, as they were looking down into Davy Jones's locker off the edge of that ship, and why don't we believe when he says, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God." Why don't we believe God? Why don't we believe that he can do anything that he says he can do? And even more important than that, why don't we believe that God says there is a way that we should be living? There is a way that we should conduct ourselves. Oh, listen, what is it that God has told me? God's told me that he created this world. I'm going to believe that. He's told me that mankind's sin. I believe that. He told me that there is death by sin. Death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I believe that. I believe that I'm not worthy of heaven. I believe that as the pastor of this church, I'm worthy of nothing more than the same hell that Charles Manson is worthy of. That's what I deserve. I thank God, though, for his grace. Oh, I thank him for his mercy. I thank the Lord that Jesus Christ paid the debt in death that I never will have to pay if I trust him as my Savior. If I say that I believe God as far as my eternity is concerned, then why can't I believe God as far as these 70 years on this earth are concerned? Amen. If I trust God with my eternity, why am I so concerned about trusting him with my life? Easily we say, "Oh, my eternity, I'll give it to you. I know it's not of my effort. Lord, by faith, I'll trust you." But yet when it comes down to this life, we say, "Let me hold on to those reins. Let me guide this ship, because I don't know that you're taking me the direction that I want to go." Yeah. Oh, let's say that we believe God. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ has also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, then he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Oh, I believe God, and I believe God's word. Secondly, I want you to write down, I believe God's wish, if you will. I believe God's wish. Go over to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3, a passage more than likely you're familiar with. 2 Peter 3. Look, if you would, at verse number 9. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." Watch now. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance."
Amen.
Oh, I believe God's wish. God is not willing for any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. I heard a man say not long ago, listen. The book of Hebrews teaches us that the Bible, the Word of God, is a sharp two-edged sword. He said that Bible is a two-edged sword. If it does not cut you to heal you, as does a surgeon takes his scalpel and cuts you to heal you, if that sword doesn't cut you to heal you, cut out the death that you're sentenced to and give you life everlasting.
Amen.
When you trust Christ as your Savior, cut out the cancer of a worldly lifestyle, of a rebellious nature, of a proud heart. If that Bible doesn't cut you to heal you, then it will cut you to condemn you. If it does not cut you to heal you, then it will cut you to condemn you. It's a two-edged sword. It will either be the life of your eternity, and it will then also be the life of your life, or it will sentence you to eternity of everlasting judgment in hell. You say, "Well, I'm saved." Then it will judge you for the life that you should have lived for God, but that you chose not to. I believe God's wish. If I do not trust Jesus Christ, if you do not trust Jesus Christ, that Bible, it will cut you to condemn you. God has a wish, a will for my life. I believe God. I believe he has will. I believe that his will is for every man, woman, and child to trust Christ as their Savior. It's right there in 2 Peter 3, verse number 9. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. No one should perish. That was the will of Jesus Christ. His wish, His wish is that every man, woman, and child, His wish is that everyone who would hear the gospel, His wish is the man that yesterday when I tried to give him the gospel wouldn't have closed the door so quickly on my face. Hey, His wish is for that dear lady that even though I went through the entire plan of salvation with her, she chose not to trust Christ as her Savior. His wish is that she would. His will is that she and that he would trust Jesus Christ. Perhaps today that's you. Perhaps His desire, His will for you is to come to a point where you know that you're born again. Listen, if I teach you how to live a good life and I don't tell you about Jesus Christ and how you can be saved, I've done nothing for you. I've helped 70 years of your life, which is a vapor to God. Oh, that we would say, I believe God, and I believe His Word, and I believe His will. Well, if I do believe His Word, and if I do believe His will, then I need to live like it. His wish is that none should perish. What am I doing about that? What am I doing about His wish? How am I working at helping to fulfill His very wish, His very will? How am I being used? How are we being used to see others brought to Christ? Hey, they're going to have to make their own decision. I understand that. But if I never tell them about it, then I am guilty of their blood. I can't get to them all. So I can support a missionary who will. I understand with 25 missionaries that we support, there's no way that we can get to every man, woman, and child. I understand that. I know that. So every October we have another missions conference. And I say, oh, would you let God speak to your heart? Maybe we could take on another 2, maybe 3 missionaries this year. Boy, praise the Lord, we were able to do that this past year. We've increased every year in the number of missionaries that we're able to support. Oh, I would love, I go out to church websites, sometimes churches that I know are not much larger than ours. And I see 50, 60, 70 missionaries that they support, and I have no idea how they support them. I don't know how much they support them every month. I know there are a lot of, there are a lot of qualifications to that. But oh, what are we doing as a church? What are you doing as a child of God? What are you doing to see His wish fulfilled? It will be fulfilled through us. His wish is fulfilled through mankind. You see, His will for my life is to live pleasing to Him. Well, that's only going to happen through this man right here. His will for you is for you to live pleasing to Him. It's only going to happen through you. His will is for all of the world to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, to have an opportunity to be saved. And that's going to happen when we decide to tell them about it. We decide to warn them about the eternal hell fire that they are in judgment of, that we will support a missionary that will go out. Folks, I believe God, I believe His Word, and I believe His wish. I wonder who is going to tell them? Who's going to tell them? If you're not going to tell them, who will? If we as an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church decide that we don't want to tell them anymore, then who is going to? I had 2 of our soul winners yesterday out on the street. And they said, we were going along the street and we began seeing pamphlets from another faith, another church, another religion. I have to be honest, something that doesn't line up with Scripture. We see on the other side, we see them coming down on the other side of the street our way, going through the same area that our soul winners were in yesterday. So our soul winners made a diversion and took another street, praise the Lord. But if as a church we decide, now we're not going to tell them, there are going to be those that will tell them wrong. I cannot make it any plainer than that. I believe God's wish. Number 3, I believe God's way. I'll not have you turn there. You could write down Isaiah 55, verse number 8. Says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. I believe God's ways. I believe that God has a better way to do things than I do. I believe God's word. I believe God's word in Proverbs 16, verse 25, when it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He repeated it 2 times, once in Proverbs 14, once in Proverbs 16, trying to get our attention. Hey, well, listen, we may think that we have the corner on the market as to how we should live our life for God, but when we do it in opposition to God's word, mark it down. we're wrong. I would be wrong if I did it in any other way than what God has already told me. I would be wrong if I lived my life in any other way than what God has already told me. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I believe God's ways. I believe God. I believe everything that He says. I believe every word in that Bible. I believe it's inspired by God. I believe there is no corruption in our King James Bible. And I believe the ways that He has. God's ways are so old-fashioned, I thank God for it. God didn't need to be up-to-date in anything. He didn't need to update His Word. He didn't need to update His way. He certainly doesn't need to update His will. I believe God. I believe His ways. Man has tried every conceivable thing there is to change, and it only leads to death. Man has tried money. Man has tried music. Man has tried power. Man has tried the New Age movement. Man has tried new doctrine. Man has tried all the different religions of the world. And in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 14, it says, "But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even to them who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Listen, I will grow when I start doing what God has already taught me to do. Amen. By the way, so will our church. Amen. Our church will grow when we begin exercising what God has already told us to do. So how are we doing as a church? Honestly, how are we doing as a church? I love you dearly. I love you. But how are we doing as a church? Are we truly doing things God's way? Or do we think, well, maybe I've got a better way. Maybe I could be used by God to write some scripture. No, I think it's closed. I think it's a closed plan by this time. I don't think God's looking to you to pen another page of scripture, the gospel according to you. We have God's word. Boy, I thank the Lord for it. God's way is the Bible, and I believe it. I'm going to have you go back to Acts chapter number 27. Go back over there, Acts 27. We see as Paul looks at them and says, "I believe God." We look here. We see, we go on. He says in verse number 26, "Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island," chapter number 28, verse number 1, calls them the island Mileta. "But when the 14th night was come down," verse 27, "and we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they were gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. They were getting closer to land. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." Oh, they were praying, just let it be daylight. Just let it be daytime. Oh, they wished for the day. Listen, I understand joy comes in the morning, but we don't always have morning. We don't always have the daylight. There are times that we need to do right even when it's nighttime. Because watch this, verse number 30. It says, "And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had set down the boat into the sea under the color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship." Wait a minute. They dropped anchors. They wished for the day. And there were those who under the color, under the disguise, we're just dropping couple more anchors out of the front of the ship here. No, they were wanting to jump ship. They were wanting to abandon. They were wanting to get out. They were letting down a small boat that they might just be able to get down. They weren't too concerned about anyone else. They just wanted to get out. They were under. Watch it again. There, verse number 20, verse number 30. "And the shipmen, as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said unto the centurion of the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes off of the boat and let her fall." Folks, I'll tell you this. I promise you this. Our church may not be the most eloquent place. It may not be the most beautiful edifice. I promise you this. This preacher may not be the best preacher in all of the world. But I promise one thing. I do know for sure. Let's stay in the ship. Amen. Oh, let's stay in the ship. Let's just decide God has a work for me to do. He has it right here. And I am going, until God moves me to another ship, I'm just going to plow corn right here. I'm not going to try by color of some of the things. Let down the lifeboat into the water and make my way off on my own. Oh, let's stay in the ship. Listen, let's follow God. I believe God's ways are better than yours or mine. When we could read all of it, go to verse number 44. It says, and the rest, some on boards. Of course, the ship got broken to pieces. And they made their way to the shore as best they possibly could. Some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. Do you believe God's word? Do you believe His word? Do you believe His will? Do you believe His way? You see, it doesn't make sense to you and me sometimes. To the young man who believes he has the world by the horns, it doesn't make sense to do things God's way. To the young woman that thinks that she and her beauty and all her grace can just make the fall star from heaven, or the stars fall from heaven. It doesn't make sense to do things God's way. To the man that's just, listen, I've done it this way all my life. I don't need to start changing now to do things God's way. It doesn't make sense to do things God's way. But when will we decide God's way is always going to be better than mine? It will always supersede my way. When will we decide I will do God's work God's way? I believe God. You see, it's man that will tell you, oh, no. Soul winning doesn't work anymore. You can't build a church on soul winning. Well, man will say that. But God tells me something different, folks. God tells me something different. Man will tell you, no, you don't need to worry about giving to missions. Well, man will tell you that, but God tells me something different. See, I choose to believe God rather than man. Let's do it God's way. Let's decide to get behind what God is doing, and let's believe God. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do ask You to be with us this morning. Lord, I thank You for Your word. Dear God, I could go on and on and on. Lord, every verse I could shout out. Lord, verses that speak to my heart, verses that speak to others. Dear God, I pray You'd help us to realize that we have Your word and we can believe it. And dear God, I pray that we would. Lord, Your will, Your wish that no one would be lost. Lord, I pray that You would help us as a church to be actively involved in making sure that we're doing everything that we can to tell anyone who will listen about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, Your way. Lord, my prayer before You always is that as the pastor of this church that I would make sure that things are done Your way. Dear God, if ever I choose and I begin to go a route that is different than Yours, Lord, I pray that You would show me very clearly. Lord, I pray that it would be backed up in Scripture, that I could see this is not the direction that God wants me to go. Please, Lord, please help me to do things Your way. This morning, your head's bowed, your eyes are closed. Let me ask a quick question. I speak about salvation. I've spoken to thousands of people.